Bibles to Romans chapter 15. In just a moment, we will read a part of that chapter and use that as our text. As you think about life, there are very few things that are guaranteed in life. Sometimes we succeed in life, sometimes we don't meet so many successes. It's almost equated life with learning. Sometimes we pass, sometimes we fail, but we're always learning as we go through life. And about the only thing that we can count on is that you really do have to live one day at a time, because there is just this incredible unpredictability that goes with life. And I got to thinking about that regarding our recent trip that we took down to Florida this past holiday season and went to the theme parks and rode on numerous different rides. And got to thinking about, there are some times that life is depicted very well in that idea of a roller coaster and the way that it's up and down. And sometimes it's moving very slowly and seems to be all on the uphill, but you know that it's going to be followed by some of those dives that come after that. Sometimes slow and boring, sometimes extremely exciting. Sometimes not only exciting, but scary. One of the things we experienced on our trip was that you get in some of the roller coasters and you can't see at all because they have you riding in the dark. And you don't know what's coming around the next corner, so there's a lot of unpredictability. But you hang on, both literally and mentally, emotionally, knowing that the ride will probably come to an end and you'll get off, you'll be on solid ground again. I think that God would have us to understand that the same feeling that we have when you get off of the roller coaster, when you get your feet onto solid ground, is what He wants us to picture as far as the guarantee that we have from Him. And I want to talk just a little bit about the idea of hope. This was initially spawned for me only because I was talking to my mother, who just turned 88 this past Sunday. And as I was thinking about her and thinking about the things that she has been through, not only in the last year, but for as many years as I can recollect her life, a lot of hardships, many more downs, it seemed, than ups. And that kind of just caught my attention this past week when we were talking about her birthday, because her middle name is Hope. And I always thought that was an unusual name for her, not an unusual name in and of itself, but it didn't seem that it was a very good portrayal of what she would have had in this life. The things that you not only desire, she desired many things, like many of us do, and desired for good things. I just don't know that she was always able to truly expect them the way that we think of hope. There's not only that desire, but it's that we truly expect that we are going to get those things that we desire. That's the nature of hope. It is desire plus expectation that is associated with that. And it's hope that allows us to look beyond today. It's hope that reaches out a little bit further, that hope that allows us to think in terms of the future. It's hope that outlasts the time that we have on this earth. It's like an anchor that I can grab onto and hold onto that helps me when I think about the daily life that we lead and the unpredictability of this life. It is the one thing that regardless of anything else that is going on in life, it is the hope that God instills in us that allows us to truly have great expectations, that allows us to think and to imagine way beyond anything that we can presently see. And in Romans chapter 15, I want us to look at the passage that starts all the way back about verse 4, really, but focus on one verse. I want us to look at verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a great passage. That's a prayer. Paul praying on behalf of those that were reading that. And I got to thinking about that in regards to my mother, in regards to my friends, my brethren, my other family members. I can't imagine that I could pray anything greater for them than what Paul has prayed here. May the God of hope do these things for you. And I want us to just look at 3 points that I think come out of that passage. 3 things that help us to understand the guarantee of hope. The things that God would have us to grasp about the nature of hope so that we can see it as it comes about in our lives. And then if the Lord permits us to, we're going to have a second lesson on an entirely different aspect of hope next Wednesday night. I want us to see both sides of this coin, but maybe a little differently than what we might normally think. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope, and I think that's where it starts. I think the first thing that Paul says is there's a God behind this hope. So this isn't something that you emotionally get yourself into. He's saying this hope is coming from a source that is outside of yourself. He says it is the God of hope. May he help you to abound in hope. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 for just a moment, if you would. May very well be my favorite passage in all of the Bible, Old or New Testament. I just love the way that it's interesting. He starts this section on from the prophet writes, "You say, O Jacob, my way is hidden from the Lord, and just passed over my God." He says first, why God doesn't see? Because Jacob, this nation, was staking before God. Somehow or another, he was looking to him. He had a claim. God was that. Similar to the kind of strategy he made. It was just saying, God's not seeing this right. It was seeing this a little more. It's so easy to feel that way. With the way it goes up, it's easy to get like that. But the prophet goes, have you not heard? And look how he's going to start. The everlasting God. He says, understand everything. He's the God has no beginning, has no end. God that has seen everything that has ever happened completely in that sense. That's where it works with the generation. But then he says, I'm talking about that. He says, of the end of the earth. As I said, just make sure you have to know who God is. And we're talking about the creator of all this. Jesus Christ probably says 139:14 fearfully made. Great verse. And as you think of God's hesitation or the creation of anything, time of years ago, maybe you get to see. I mean, if any one of our flowers and their leaves as well, just get all those little things coming out on that tree, you just start to see the glory of God, the creation of God from minute to large. They understand that's the God we're talking about. Paul, the God. So, he said, it's God that we cannot say. He just said, it's tireless. Not only God, he's tireless. Neither faints nor is weary. He says, that if we're going to wear God. The God that's taken of us, the God that makes absolute tireless. He's awful. It's just going on. And therefore, he's in those who have no mind strength, even the youth shall see the young men shall utterly fall to wait on the Lord's through their strength. They shall mount with wings. They shall run without being, they shall walk and not be faint. The reason it's because God behind it. I got to my mom's life. My life is your life. Here's what I want for her. Let's talk about life guarantees of hope. That it is a guarantee. Hope is a guarantee first of a God that is not. He says it's a God of. And if we allow our vision of God to. Then our hope fails. So if it becomes necessary, I think every day. It's just a bit of grace. It's going to be this. That spiritual, timeless, tireless nature, creative path, is that if God helps me to have what he says that I can have. It's not only guarantee that there's a blind hope, he says, there are gifts in that's going to. He says, only this behind the hope, he says, there are that are in. Romans 50 again, I made the God hope fill you with joy and here's what hope does. It gives us joy. Hope is us. When we have the God talks about, when the hope God needs to instill in, when we see that eternal, that hope that outlasts tomorrow and outlasts next year, that kind of greater than disaster. As we get so much of the prayer in text of destruction, it's heart-wrenching. But the hope that outlasts that kind of disaster and action, hope that citizens can't have. He's making gifts to us. They're beyond our ability to accurate. So we talked about in some of our records that it's given us from your spouse. Goal from God's happiness is not an end of seeking godliness, I think. But he says, make you happy. There does so you have to be with people. And hopefully you will. But he gave us sort of joy. That. So he says, my God of hope grant you this joy. May he give you joy and peace. Be able to have something that can't manufacture beyond the circumstances that you your life. Beyond the perspective that we have world as well to that gift of joy. Look at verse chapter 2. This is what Paul says with in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That great passage that we're talking about affection. What does that mean to us, our life as servants? Verse 42 says, so also is the rest of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is sown in glory. Weakness, it is raised for. It is natural body, it is raised spiritual. Natural body, it is a spiritual body. It doesn't that is happening. And one thing I can do is I can look around and think that is happening. I can know that I will be in immortality to do with my God. He said, that's the joy. May God give you joy. It's outside of us. It allows us to run and say, this is not all there. The ground that I can bow onto, some that will be solid ground, never to be. He says, may God grant you only joy, but also the gift that he would bring. I'm a fan of the general for movies, but I tell you that I've watched the movie and it's one of those things to your seat movies, and things that you expect to happen, especially with movies where people maybe kind of fair or fight, or your seat, don't know who's making it, how that's all going to be instances that goes with. I remember watching these movies. Burper. Warmer. Out with an arrow. Don't notice he was shot with another, and he was shot. Same character. And if you watch this, because when part of the sin to the prophet exists, never had any doubt in my mind of what would happen. Even though you've got another character in the bag and attacked by a spider, his life was constantly making not really concerned. I said before I saw the movie. So unless they directly did something in the movie, I knew it was going to happen. All tenses was gone. And that was because you knew the end of the beginning changes things. It says, but might those things be on the edge of your disbelief? You know what comes after this? Dramatic change. The emotions you have. That's what God stands. As is hope. Bringing. I'll be to have a spirit. Wants to make so tenses. And it's so thing to stir up our losses that it becomes difficult to hold on to the peace about. It is the hope that will tie to God that gives us that peace. It's not only the God's hope, it's gifts that are in the hope of the hope. Grow that hope. That passage says that God's hope in peace and trust. Didn't say thing, but that's that word in Greek, which means trust. This discussion in our group Sunday, where we talk about what it takes for us to other people. In general, what it means. As we teach maybe a week to somebody, or fault or a struggle they have, there are different things that are more difficult than others. Sometimes it's just, we just don't know people very well. And we're not the kind of people typically who are going to sit down with somebody that we met the first time and say, let me tell you what my life's problems are. That's difficult because we don't know them well enough. But we said, you know, that's not the only cause. Sometimes because we don't know them well enough, we don't have the trust in them. It doesn't mean they're untrustworthy. We just don't know if they're trustworthy. We don't know if what we share with them is going to go beyond them when we didn't want it to. Or we don't know if they're really even going to care. Or we don't know if they're going to be able to offer any kind of assistance or help. And so we want to make sure that it's somebody we have a relationship with and that we have a trust with that allows me to share. And the closer I am to that person, the more I trust them, the more integral part of my life that they are, the more likely I am to be able to share that. I think that's what God's trying to get us to understand. He said, this life of serving God, though knowledge is needed, knowledge is not what it's about. Knowledge is needed. The prophet said, my people are destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. We have to have knowledge of his word. But it's about relationship. It's about God being the Father, as we talked about this past Sunday. It seems the whole point, or one of the main points in the story of the prodigal, is that there's a father and that there's a son. And I think God's saying, you want to grow in that hope, Mark. You want to feel stronger in that hope. You want it to be a deeper, more meaningful part of your life. You're going to have to trust me. And so I think, what does it take for me to trust somebody? That takes time, doesn't it? It takes effort. It takes spending that time and laying out one's thoughts before somebody else and spending time talking to them, spending time letting them talk to you. And God says, I give you both of those opportunities. I can go every single day, every day, whether I'm in town or out of town. Whether all the phone lines are down, not down, if I've got my phone with me or not, it doesn't make any difference. I can talk to my God and let him know what's on my heart every single day of my life. And he says, not only that, you can let me talk to you. And he has. He has given us incredible stories. Incredible pictures of people and things that he's been involved in to say, let me show you who I am. Let me show you what I have done. The dictionary describes trust this way: firm reliance on the integrity, ability, or character of a person or thing. Confident belief. He says that's why he tells you God is first. The God of hope, who will give you joy and give you peace if you trust that he'll do what he said that he will do. In John chapter 14, I mean, just think of the context historically of what our Lord is about to say here. Because it is about to be the worst several days in the life of his disciples. Would you agree with that? When our Lord leaves this earth, they are shaken to the core. They are trembling, locked up in a room, hoping that nobody finds them. They have run away from their Lord who has now died. They have denied him at his very arrest and trial, all of them with that. They're cowering. They don't know what to do. Could you just imagine you are in their shoes? I'm telling you, those would be tough days. Those would be tough days. It doesn't stop there. They're still going to have more tough days. Because even once they get their faith back, once Jesus comes back and appears to them, and they reestablish that faith based on the resurrection, now they're going to be the ones who are beaten. They're going to be the ones who are arrested. They're the ones who are locked up and persecuted because of their beliefs. They are the ones who are going to end up giving their lives, several of them, for the cause to their Master and Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, their life is about to get bad from that standpoint. And Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. That's easier said than done, isn't it? He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Why? Because it doesn't matter what they're going to do to you? He didn't really say that. He says, you believe in God, believe in me also. You trust him, trust me. Trust me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the hope. That's the guarantee. He says, trust me. I told you I'm coming back. You have to believe that I'm coming back. They didn't see that. They didn't get to see him come back, take them home. They were persecuted and some lost their lives serving him. But I'm confident they're at home with him because that's what he said he was going to do. And if we trust him, we may or may not get to see that promise fulfilled. Not while we're here on this earth. But Jesus says, trust me. Hope is the only guarantee to have. And it's what allows me to look around and I know that my God is absolutely worthy of every ounce of my trust, regardless of what I see that may tell me otherwise. And so Paul says in Romans chapter 15, here's my prayer for you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in trusting. That ought to be our prayer for each other. That ought to be our prayer for every brother and sister in Christ that we know. There's nothing better you could ask for somebody. And may the God who allows us to see beyond this life have the joy and the peace that comes with knowing the promise that he's made about the life to come. If you're not a Christian, so that is the message of the gospel. It doesn't end here. It goes beyond. If you want to live eternally with God, he tells us how we can do that. He tells us what it means to believe him and trust him. We'd love to show you from his word where he says that and how he describes that if you don't already understand. For all of us that are Christians, topsy-turvy world, may we do all we can to help each other see the greatness of God, so that we can have the hope that God seeks to put in us. If we can help you tonight, listen up while we stand, while we sing.
Calling the prodigal come without delay.